Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, here at the round table with mothers and daughters from around the world. I thank you this morning for joining us. It is another beautiful day on Saturday morning. I tell you, we're coming to the very end of June. It's just some ways, you know, it's just mind-blowing. Wow, it seems like June, the 1st of June was just yesterday. Now we're getting ready to enter into midsummer, the 4th of July. The time is really, really moving. Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you. Thank you for joining us this morning. Before I get ahead of myself, I don't want to act as if I'm doing something. It's not me. I am just a servant unto the Lord. And Father God, this morning, with that being said, I want to thank you for all the blessings. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for loving us unconditionally. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that leads and guides us and is there to help us make decisions. Father God, you had everything in place from the beginning. And we just thank you for Jesus Christ who came and saved our sins and to provide us training and instructions on how we are to live according to your word. And I ask you this morning, Father God, to bless every mother and daughter around the world, that they come together mending broken hearts, realizing that that relationship is a key part of the entire family, because mothers not only birth daughters, they birth sons, which sons are created to be fathers and sons. So, Father God, with the entire family this morning, we ask for a blessing so that we, as your children, will come together in love, therefore creating a loving world and making the world a better place. Thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Yes, that's the key. That's why we get up on Saturday morning. We get up because what we want to just remind ourselves as mothers and daughters that we have a role to play. We're not here just to walk around and idly bump into one thing or the other and call it life. That's not our role. We have a purpose. There is a purpose designed for you and your life. You are sent here with a purpose to do something. To do something. I remember when, back in the day when we were looking at Dallas and Knots Landing, and it's another show that used to come on at that time, but Dallas was the big thing. And you would rush home, get dinner done, and get the kids' homework done, and get them dressed for bed, and anything that you had to do to get ready to sit down to watch Dallas or Knots Landing. And at least I can speak on me. You know, I only had one child, but, you know, you do what you do, and you get excited because that was your show for tonight. It was like, you know, it's entertainment. But then I got tired of looking at other people living a lifestyle that I'm thinking, hey, that's a lifestyle I should enjoy. But I didn't know my purpose. I was in banking at the time, which was, you know, good compared to, you know, what I could have been doing. could have been back in the fields picking cotton and putting in tobacco and, you know, in doing, you know, gathering beans and all kind of vegetables. I could have been doing some of that, you know, have done that in my day. But I made a choice. That was not what I was going to do. And so banking, you know, it's an easy job, it's a learning job, going to school, you know, raising a family. But then one day I got sick and tired of what I was doing, even though most people say, wow, you have a nice job. And I've always had a good position. I've always had a decent salary and a nice job, but I wasn't happy. I wasn't happy. So I'm seeking and asking God, what is it that I'm supposed to do? First, I started off with, where's my talent? I don't think I have a talent, you know, because, you know, I'm looking at somebody that can sing. I was thinking, man, if I could sing, you know, I could make it that way. Or if I was a great writer, you know, I'm looking at, well, what is my talent? You know, why am I here? And once you discover that and have that conversation with God and just listen, really listen, you'll get into your purpose. Doesn't mean it's going to be a slide down a water slide and no bumps in the road, you know, because it's going to be a learning experience. Your purpose is definitely is an education. That is the curriculum in which you will learn your lessons before you graduate. But I realize that really my talent is communication, is talking. You know, when I was younger and in school, the teachers would tell my mother, you know, she's a wonderful student. I was smart. But I loved to talk. I was an only child, and whatever I saw on television the night before, and, you know, your parents, they get together, and you're there by yourself, and you're trying to talk, and they're trying to talk. So you got all these things that you want to talk about that you saw last night. So when you get to school, you're talking to your friends. And sometimes I couldn't wait to recess or whatever. I just, you know, anyway, I was just a talker. Anybody know me know I'm a talker. That's just it. That is it. But God is taking that talent and using it to glorify his kingdom. So whatever your talent is, you know, don't look at it and say, you know, oh, well, it's just she's a talker. But I have the most, to me, important talent that I could have is to be able to speak and let God use me to share his word, to speak the word. So, and thank God we all can talk. You know, it just depends on what we want to talk about. We can choose. We could talk about the word of God. We could talk about some loving things. We could talk about how we can help people. Or we can use that tongue to destroy someone, to talk bad about them, cut them down. And the only reason a person would do that is because they're not clear with themselves. They're not happy with themselves. In order to talk about someone else in a negative tone or actually talking them down, it's because that's how you feel on the inside. So, mothers, if we're doing this to our friends, our mothers and daughter relationship, brothers, cousins, co-workers, then it's not them, it's you that we have to check, because our daughters are watching us. They're hearing the way we talk about people. And the worst thing a mother can do is to talk to their child about another adult, because it doesn't make you look good. You know, you laugh and kid, and I'm pretty sure we're all guilty of that. Because sometimes, you know, kids will say the darndest things, as you could say, and before you know it, you're laughing. They're like, Mama, did you see Miss Jones? Did you see how that hat was sitting on her head? And say something fun, and you're laughing. You're engaged. I know I've done it, not intentionally, you know, but you just, yeah. But when I think back on it, you know, it's not, we're not setting an example when we do that. And keep in mind that when we come together on Saturday morning, it's just a time to reflect on some of the things that we do and how can we change those things. If our children hear us talking about someone and then we are telling them not to do it, they are going to look at us and say, you know, measure it. Well, that's what you do. So this morning that just kind of came across my spirit. You know, we just got to be mindful of what we say and do. Today our stimulating topic this morning is mothers, are you still standing? This kind of ties back into our topic from last week. You know, it was interesting dialogue all week long from that conversation last week. And we'll talk a little bit about that as we go on. Again, for the new people that are coming on, I'm your host. I'm Dr. Bessie here at the Round Table with mothers and daughters around the world. If you want to get in touch with us, you hear something of interest, you can email me at drbessie1@gmail.com. That's D-R-B-E-S-S-I-E, the number one, @gmail.com. Email me. I'll email you back. If you put a number in there, I will definitely call you. Because we are here to help. Help me. I don't have all the answers. So when we are talking, if you have some suggestion, the Lord spoke to you, give me an email, call me, tell me something, you know, because I am also inside of my curriculum trying to graduate, as they say. Again, our stimulating topic is, I welcome my co-host, Cynthia Oliver. She's around, I think. I haven't been to the switchboard, but usually she's there. And today we were going to have a guest, and I didn't get a confirmation. I'm not sure she's on there. Very busy lady. Was trying to catch up with her yesterday to make sure that we could confirm it. But if she's there, we'll try to get her on. Last week we had Dr. Yvonne Baxter Bentley, and it was very interesting. Of course, we had some audio problems, and a lot of people could not hear all that she was saying. So we'll talk a little bit about that and recap. And Dr. Bentley may be on this morning. I'm not sure. But if she is, maybe the audio is better and she can kind of tune in to what we are talking about today. Last week we talked about topic was, excuse me, let me get all this together. Mothers, when you've done all that you can do, then what? And you know, the thing that comes to mind, the words that come to mind after you say something like that, make that kind of a statement. Excuse me, my voice is scratchy this morning. Stayed up late last night doing work. Mothers, when you've done all that you can do, then what? The next thing is, man, we've heard that behind that. That's the thing, that's the thought that comes up. So we talked about that last week, you know, because when you're talking about standing, when I hear, when you've done all that you can do, then what? I think about my grandmothers, you know, on my dad's side, and mainly a grandmother from my husband's grandmother. Grandmother Brown, and my mother, Grandmother Pearline. When you raise 14 children, you better know how to stand. That's Grandma Pearline on my dad's side. You better know how to stand because you're going to go through so many different scenarios because each child is different, have their own personality. And I used to say to her, Grandmama, how in the world if you deal with 12 children, because, you know, I'm an only child. Most of you know that. I'm an only child, so I didn't have siblings to do the little fighting things. I had cousins, but they were boys. I was the only girl down there. Myself was boys my age. So I still didn't have that. I tried to fight them, though. You know, I was always sort of like that tomboy, but, you know, they know they better not hit me because they would get a beating, not a spanking, a whipping, as they used to call it, because I was a girl, and I would sometimes just do it just to, so that they would get in trouble if they messed with me, because I knew I had power, and I used it. Isn't that awful? But that's the way children are. So when you've done all that you can do and you're standing,
and you have 14 children, that's a lot of standing, some of them. But she's been fortunate. None of the children was in jail. None of them went to jail. And I'm sure there wasn't. And most of them was boys. She only had two girls. And all those boys, I don't remember anybody going to jail. It just hit me. That's amazing. So she was standing in the gap, but I can remember the prayer. I can remember even Grandma Brown, you know, you're sleeping, and 3 o'clock in the morning, you hear the walls seems as if they were rumbling, and she would call on the name of Jesus and cover everybody, and you'd lay in the bed and you'd listen to her on her knees in the morning talking to God and asking him to protect the children. You know, that's what we do when we stand. That's what we do when we stand. We use the order. There is an order in which things must take place. And as the matriarch, you have the order to stand. God is going to listen, mothers. And we're getting older. Even though we think we're getting younger, you know, in our minds, we are becoming the matriarch, some of us. Some of us don't want to be grandmothers. We want to be friends. You know, I don't want nobody to know I'm a grandmother. How many times have I heard that? But what an honor to be a grandparent. What an honor. Because now, you have an opportunity to really share some wisdom that you didn't have when you had your children. And that wisdom is a constant teaching to your children as well as your grandchildren. So, mothers, are you still standing? You know, you ask yourself, and you're going to, 9 times out of 10, you're going to get that answer, yes. I know some people think that they just go, godly, and they can say, yes, I'm standing, this, that, and other. And then some may say, well, you know, Dr. Fletcher, you don't know what I did last night. And, you know, I just don't feel like I'm godly enough. I'm close to God to even ask God for anything, and I don't know how to stand. Don't kid yourself. God doesn't love one person more than he loved the other. And I don't care how godly someone think they are, and I don't care where you think you are, he still loves you, and he'll still accept your request just like anybody else. You come to him and say, Lord, I'm standing for my child. I may not have done it all right, but like the gentleman say, hey, help me with my unbelief. Help me, Jesus, where I'm short. And I think we all can say that. Because in order to stand, you got to have Jesus to stand as your intercessory to intercede for you. That's how we all get before the Father. None other can go there without going. So when we were talking last week about mothers, what can you do when you've done all that you can do and you just stand? You know, that's the work. The work is just to deal with the word and use that word to stand on the word. There's nothing that you can do yourself individually that would have the power to stand. You have to stand on the word of God. That's where the power is. And then what really activate that power is your faith, your belief system. Do you believe me, Bessie? I gave you, I sent Jesus, and he showed you how to do it. He gave you my word. He said, when I speak, the Father speaks. Do you believe me, Bessie? See, that's the key. Do you believe what Jesus said? Do you believe him? When he says, when you hear me, you hear the Father. When you see me, you see the Father. Do you believe that? See, that's what you're going to stand on. You're going to stand on the fact that I believe what Jesus said. And why am I saying all this? Because that's the little piece that sometimes we miss when we think we're not good enough. You can't stand in faith if you don't believe that you deserve it, that you're unworthy. Because you got to have faith connect you to Jesus so that he can go in front of the Father. And says, you know what, Father? I have Bessie here. And Bessie has come to me, and she believed what I told her. and she's standing on your word, Father. And she asked me to come to you to present her petition. So you got to get a belief system. And the main thing is your words are your words, mine's mine, but we got to go through Jesus to get to the Father, and that's his word. So you can't get around it. And you're well worthy of doing it. We all come short, and we all have sinned. So don't ever think that you're not worthy enough. And I know some of you may say, well, I don't need to hear this, Dr. Fletcher, because, hey, I've been a Christian for a long time. I am seasoned, and, you know, well, I'm happy for you. But there's so many mothers and daughters on here that are trying to get where you are. And that's why we come on Saturday morning, because I'm trying to get where you are. To me, I'm not in. I'm, as Steve Harvey says sometimes, I'm a work in progress. He's not finished with me yet. And if you think that you're finished, you know, I say, hey, blessings to you. But as long as you're breathing and moving around, every day comes up with a different scenario. Every day comes up with a different challenge. And yesterday is not going to be today, and today is not going to be tomorrow if you're given that. So you're always going to be a work in progress. So that was kind of what we talked about last week. And Dr. Bentley was sharing her story. She came on and she was talking about her mother and daughter relationship and how she lost her daughter to what she called the dark side. You know, very seldom you hear that except for on maybe television, the dark side. And as she was explaining to me, we talk often, but we talk briefly before the show, the day before, but she didn't mention the dark side, I don't think, in that conversation. She actually said it on the radio, and I was thinking as she was saying, wow, the dark side. So when you think of the dark side, you're thinking of a black hole. You see something dark over on that side of you there. You're thinking the dark side. You know, your imagination's got to come up with some kind of figure, some kind of image in order for you to relate to the words, because you got to get a picture. So I'm thinking dark side. But for those of you that had some problems understanding what she was saying, because we did have some audio, and what I realized, sometimes, you know, the enemy will try to come in to confuse the issue of the sound waves when he knows there's a serious message coming through there that he wants to cut off. So sometimes, you know, y'all just cut me off and I'll go through the whole show and realize it was on mute or something happened or, you know. But that's okay. You can't stop the word. Because God's going to get his word out, whether you use Bessie or any of you out there. He has all of us to spread the word. I'm not so special. I'm not the only one doing this. God has got a mission for all of us. But what Dr. Bentley was talking about last week was that she, you know, being a mother, raising the daughters, and basically when you think about her family, six girls, all of them, if maybe just one, every last one of them are doctors. Every last one of them have a lifestyle. And I'm not even going to get into that today. But she briefly shared some things with me. But her story was that her daughter, who was the model type, as she put it, you know, smart, had, you know, you're thinking all these things going on. And, of course, her father, their father was a pastor, and the mother was, she said, the model mother. So you're going along, she's teaching school, teaching other children, raising them up and helping them to be. She was a coach, she's always athletic, helping them to grow up and fulfill their dreams and, you know, learn how to do their sports, but also how to take care of their bodies and eat healthy as well. And then all of a sudden, 18, your daughter says, I'm grown now, and you know, I'm going to walk out the door. And when she walks out the door, you don't know where she is. Just all of a sudden, you're thinking this child is going to school, and you've had these plans, and then she's gone, and you realize, as she said, she's on the dark side. Someone just take her up, and see, that's why God said faith come by hearing.
And people don't realize that's good or bad. If you tell a child enough things that are negative, you're using negative words, negative words, negative words. Faith comes by hearing. Faith is only your belief system. That child is going to believe what you're saying, mother, because you're saying it over and over again. It is going to settle inside of that child's brain. And once they get into the subconscious mind, it's there. And no matter how they try to pull themselves up, they're going to hear your word. You're just like your old father. Or you're never going to be anybody. And you're running with so-and-so. As long as you hang out with that girl, you're never going to be anybody. She's going to take you here. She's going, and instead of telling your child, you are your own person, and you can make your own decision, and I'm dependent on you to make the right decision. See, all about how we use the word. Here she is experiencing this with her daughter, thinking, Lord, what can I do? I've done all the things that I know to do in church. Excuse me. In church, teaching, preaching, doing what I can do, yet my daughter's gone. It took 5 years to go. Even though her sisters and brothers and cousins, everybody's going to tell her, you know, come home. They knew where she was. She could not go. But when she decided to go, the daughter, of course, someone called the police. So, you know, everybody's just waiting to see what happens and out for her protection. But she went in there and she went straight to the lady and talked to the lady and said, look, you have my daughter. How would you feel if I had your daughter? If I took your daughter, how would you feel? But what I like about the story was, before she left, she prayed for the lady. She prayed for the house. Obviously, it was the house of ill repute or whatever they want to call it. I don't know. But she knew she wanted to pray for that. Her daughter was in that house, and she prayed. And she told him, when you're ready to come home, I'm there. I'm paraphrasing what she said. It took 2 years, but you see, she stood, she waited, she prayed, and she believed God. And most times, God said, it will come to pass if you don't faint. We cannot allow anything to interrupt our belief system. Once we say we believe, and Lord, we're going to stand on this, I'm going to stand because I know your word is true. I know you hear me. You hear me all the time. See, Jesus set those examples. He told us how to do it. So I'm going to stand. And you move on. And you, every time it comes up, you just thank God. You said, Lord, I thank you for my daughter coming home. See yourself and your daughter going out having lunch. See yourself talking. See yourself hugging each other. See yourself, you know, just having this wonderful, wonderful time in this relationship. See, that is the creation of images that will manifest into your reality. Put those ingredients inside of your thought, inside that picture. Create an ingredient that you know that's going to what? Water that word that you're standing on. 2 years later, which is 7 years, the daughter comes home with her blanket, and I think if I heard her correct, it was the Dora Explorer blanket when she had when she was a little girl wrapped around her, and Mama, I want to come home. Just to see that blanket would tell you something. Now, she's living a great life. But just imagine if her mother had not gone and when God told her to go, even though it was 5 years, people were like, why won't you go? You know, why won't you go? I can imagine people thinking, what's wrong with her? She told you where she's at. Why won't you go? That you can't do it in your own power. You have to do it according to the word. And you have to wait until
God tells you to do it. That's when it will work. Even Jesus said, what? I do nothing except for what the Father says or what he tells me to do. Because he knows when you get permission, then that's where the power is. It is ordained, it is authorized, and therefore you can activate it. You can activate it. And so from that story, the reason I'm going back over it some, because a lot of people were talking to me last week about it, and they said, you know, the audio was bad, we got some of it. But the one thing that I think everybody got, when that mother's heart broke open and she said, you know, she started crying. Of course, I was crying. I'm trying to hold myself together. Other mothers was crying. You could just feel it. I can feel some things over the airway that you just would not believe. I can feel when people are just intense and listening. The Holy Spirit would just allow me to know that. He later texted me and said, I did not mean to get emotional. And I'm like, hey, that's okay, because you lived that. We didn't. But I'm hoping that some mother was blessed from that. That's why I wanted to just recapture, because they said, I didn't get a clear picture, got to kind of understand it, and I'm just kind of scaling over just enough to give you a picture of what happened last week. But now it comes to the stories that I've gotten last week. Oh, my God. God is taking us into a place that is just mind-blowing, I would say. So I'm going to leave that there, and I'm going to pick it back up. That brings us to our stimulating topic today. Mothers, are you still standing? After hearing the testimony from Dr. Bentley last week and the amazing stories that, you know, she told me, you know, it's just, like I said, mind-blowing stories about mothers and daughters that that came to me that are really, really was off of my radar, I would say. Not that I haven't heard some stories on television, but when you are hearing these type of stories from Afro-American mothers and daughters, you don't, well, me anyway, I can only speak for me. I haven't heard those kind of stories from Afro-American mothers and daughters, and a lot of times because I'm not exposed. You know, I hear some things, I know some things, but, you know, I'm not exposed to a lot. And I try to stay away from television as much as I can. That's a bad thing to say. I do look occasionally, but, you know, I can't get so many bad stories in my head because it just, you can't do anything, and it just worries me and put me in a place where I just try to be very selective of what I hear. But these stories last week, and God showed me something, they were very, very deep into the world of darkness. Very deep. This is an entire family that, like the lady said, we could all be billionaires. We could all have movies written about our lives. It's amazing how it's gone through the dark side and come out. So when I get on air on Saturday morning, you know, speaking to mothers and daughters around the world, you know, usually I'm thinking about, you know, mothers and daughters in conflict, you know, lack of communication, disobedience, daughters leaving home, mothers just not speaking to a daughter, daughters not speaking to a mother, maybe some sex and drug involvement, you know. And our role is to bring a healing word to mothers and daughters, a loving word, a trusting word, giving them hope of how to get back into each other's good graces and how to use the word of the Lord to do their forgiveness, you know. And I'm not making light of that, because any disconnect from a mother and daughter is one too many. Anything that separates a mother from her daughter to be corrected. Because in my mind, I just believe that there should be nothing to come between a mother and her daughter or a mother and her child. Nothing. I don't care what it is. You think about it. You have the child. You raise the child. You're having fun with the child as you grow up, and then all of a sudden the child gets old enough and has an opinion. Then you don't want to listen. You know, somewhere along there, there's a disconnect. A lot of times, mothers, we don't want to realize that our children are adults. We want to really look at them still as children. And they're talking to you from an adult opinion, from an adult point of view. But yet you're responding as they are still a 7 or 8 year old child. Do this because I say so. I don't want to hear it, instead of just listening. Instead of learning that, you know, okay, I'm not dealing with a child anymore. I have to do that. And I have to constantly remind myself of that. That I don't have a little girl anymore. I have a grown woman. A woman that have grown children. One in college. The other one getting ready to go, you know, in the 11th grade. That's not a child. That's a grown woman. So I can't speak to her as if just because I'm the mother, I have to change that conversation. This conversation is woman to woman now. But yet, it is flavored with the mother and daughter respect. She knows her role, and I know mine. And I do have a role. Just because I'm the mother doesn't mean that I don't have a role. When I go to her house, I respect her house, her and her husband, and her children. I'm not there trying to tell people what to do in their homes. I'm not trying to tell them well, you should put this over here, or you should do this, or why you got this like this. That's not your house. When I go there, I'm a guest. However they run their house, that's their business. I'm not there to stay. I'm just there to enjoy my children. So, mothers, sometimes we have to get into that role. Back to this darkness thing. You know, when I say that, I'm thinking, we really don't have a lot to work with when you're in those situations. That's why I name those things, because, you know, even though they're very important, but just imagine you wake up one morning and your daughter's gone, and you don't know if your daughter is alive or dead. Now, that is a problem. That is something that will occupy your mind 24 hours a day. You've had a good relationship with your daughter. Everything's good, and all of a sudden, one day, she's missing. You don't know if she left. You don't know if took her. That's a problem. So when you have just a miscommunication, like one young lady tells me, oh, my daughter and I are speaking. I didn't speak for years. But I'm still expecting her to apologize to me. Even though she and the granddaughter and the daughter spending time and talking. See, that's a surface kind of talk. Because I said to her, why is it that you feel that she needs to apologize to you before you can accept her totally? You know, I know sometimes an apology is needed, and I do it in my practice. But don't let that be the all in all. It will come. If you do your part and you extend love, if there's something that your daughter feels, you feel that your daughter has done something that she needs to apologize to you, love will put her in a place that one day it will hit her. But you know what, Mama? I just need to say this. Because, see, you're so loving. You're just so loving in spite of it all. You're just being that loving mother and just doting on her and spending time with her. Now, come on. Anybody. You know that? You stop feeling it. You know, when you've done wrong and somebody's doing right by you, you feel like you got to clear that up if you have any conscience at all. But don't let that be the main thing. Enjoy your daughter. Enjoy your granddaughter. And as a lady told me this week, she said, Dr. Bessie, I want you to talk to my sister. She said, because I just think this is our last chance for love. This is, mother died,
and everybody went astray. Everybody's just all over the place. And I just feel like you can bring us back together. I just feel like this is our last chance to love on each other, just to love on each other. And we haven't had that. Everybody's blaming this one, blaming that one. But when Mother was here, everybody came together. You see, that's how important that Mother is. Mother is the glue that holds the family together. But you don't want to be just the only glue. You want to be able to have some glue on your children. You want them to be able to, when you drop off, you want them to be able to stand and have glue on them that they still stick to each other. May sound crazy, but you get the point. And this young lady was talking to me about the dark side and the many phases of the dark side. I'm talking about dark. Human trafficking. I mean, you know, I mean, that's deep. You hear that on television. Reminded me of a young lady that connects herself with us, with Mothers and Daughters. You know, we go out to the prison and teach, and Cynthia's constantly there and teaching, and Cynthia deals with substance abuse counseling, that in-your-face kind of a right-on type of approach, and they get it. So here we're talking about Mothers and Daughters, and you're talking about this young lady that come in, and we go out and we do those kind of a teachings. We do mother and daughter events and mother and daughter workshops and teas and things of this nature. But she came to me and she said, you know, Dr. Fletcher, she said, I want to connect with you and Mothers and Daughters and organization. She said, now I know this is not the world that you live out of, but I need you because the way I look and the way that I present myself, when I go in to ask for people for donations, hear me because they're looking at me. But if I could get you to work with me. So I started helping her with donations and things to help put together little packages with toiletries, and she'd take my business card and put in there, and I wrote something that the Lord gave me, and we put that in the bag, just little Ziploc bags. So I would buy Ziploc bags, and we'd get all the soap, toiletries, and things of that nature put in the bags, and things that she collected to go out. She would go out into the night and still does it to this day. She was a prostitute for 27 years, and she said it was very dark. 27 years of prostitute. And, of course, she sat there. She said, I could tell you something. And she did. But I can take anything because I'm like, you know, hey, God will forgive you. And who am I? I don't have no place to put you, and I'm not judging anybody. She came, you know, well, first of all, she was doing her thing, and it was a sort of a Saul story. Saul was on the way to Damascus, and what Jesus spoke to him. What are you doing? I'm like, who is this? You know, this is me, the Lord. Why are you prosecuting me? She said, the Lord just spoke to her, and it's time for you to leave. Time for you to stop. 27 years. On the street, in every situation you could think of. And she asked the Lord to lead her out, and she was led out. She got out, but then the Lord said, now. She wrote a book, and he said, now you have to go back in and get the rest. It wasn't after she wrote the book, but you got to go back in and get the rest. So when she goes in, she has to risk her life because pimps know her. They're like, "Who? What do you think you're doing?" She's sneaking in, talking to the girls, teaching them, ministering to them, trying to show them that you can leave and have a good life. You can do that. She's a massage therapist, so, you know, therefore she was doing that in the daytime, making money from that as well, and in any fashion that she wanted to. I mean, this is what she says. And But now she does it, you know, this is her profession. But she was trying to show them you can get out and live a decent life. But in the meantime, she's risking her life.
So when we're talking about the dark side, I'm telling you this week, it's just been amazing. So I'm saying, Lord, what is it that you want? What is it that you want me to do? And I thought about it. Mothers and daughters, if you know where your daughter is, or you know where your mother is, that's a big plus. You know? If she's not on the dark side, then you're in a good position to make a decision. You know what? It's not that important. Whatever happened, we just need to sit down. I mean, that's your kid. Come on, that's your little girl. You can't sit down and talk to your own child. Mothers, you take the step to talk to your own child. Nothing is too hard for God to do through you once you make the decision, that's my child, and I'm going to get my child. Do not wait till that child gets so far out there. Pressed on my heart this week. I don't know who that's for. Hopefully, I pray that the dark side don't come near my dwelling, and I pray that it doesn't come near yours. But God is saying something to someone, and the young lady that told me all this week, I'm asking you, mothers and daughters, that we come together again and pray and unite for mothers and daughters, and that they are being kept by the word of God and protected in the name of Jesus. My take on it, and I'm going to go to the switchboard and see if someone wants to conversate with me on that. See who we have here.
Good morning,
Good
Dr.
Morning.
Fletcher. How are you? Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
All is well, Dr. Fletcher. All is well. Cannot complain, honestly.
Great.
Well, I'm listening to the show, and I'm thinking, as you were talking, and I'm thinking about this dark side. You know, any time a mother and her daughter is not in a relationship, that's really a dark side. And any time, if you really think about that, and we don't think about that as being a dark place, but that is a very dark place because it's outside of the light of God and how he designed it to be. We were never meant to be estranged from our mothers, just as we were never meant to be estranged from him. And when we allow anything other than that loving relationship that God has created and designed it to be, we are in a dark place. I was certainly in a dark place all the years that I didn't have a relationship with my mother, because I kept trying to fill it with other things to bring me light, but it was just further removing me and thinking that I didn't need a relationship with my mom because I was trying to replace her.
Wow.
And so when I think about that word dark place and standing and all of that stuff, and I thought about what you said with regards to this mother, and if we'd be honest with ourselves, sometimes we miss things with our children because we're so busy doing everything in the church and whatnot. And sometimes we miss things. Am I saying she missed something? Absolutely not. But I'm saying that it can happen that we miss things, and that's how we lose our children, because we're so busy doing the world. I don't think God ever meant for us to be so busy in the church that we spend a huge majority of the time in the church and not at home with our children. And I'm not saying that that's her case. I'm just saying oftentimes we're doing so much of the world to be accepted in the world that sometimes we lose focus on our own children. And that puts us in a dark place with our children. We may think everything is hunky-dory, but somewhere something was missed with this young lady. And then again, you can't take it personal because it wasn't about her. Like I said last week on the radio, this wasn't about you. If she had not had that experience, she probably wouldn't be the young lady that she is today. God allows us to go through dark patches in order to bring us to who he would have us to be today and who he will have us to be in the future. If you've never experienced the dark side, how can you bring anybody to the light? Because you don't know what it looks like. And so it's not always a bad thing that God allows us to be in darkness. Because I know that I know that I know that I know. If I had not had that experience with my mother and all those years of being in the dark, I would not be able to teach the population that I'm teaching, the women in prison. Because, see, I know what it looks like not to have your children. I know what it looks like not to have my mom. And so I'm the perfect example that God has in that place of darkness in order to say, baby girls, if y'all don't get it together, your children will be 42-year-old, 2-year-olds crying over the fact that they never had their mom. Because, see, if I had not gone through that, I could not be positioned to do this. So it's okay that we've been in a dark place. The problem is that we've been in a dark place. The problem is that we stay in a dark place. That's my take.
Well, you know, I agree with you. Everything is based, it's a building block kind of a situation in life. I was talking to someone about a week or so ago talking about most parents want to start, they get so excited on the date of the birth of the child that they think that, oh, on June the 12th, the baby's supposed to be born. So they base everything around June the 12th. And what happens is that they're not thinking about today and how you can still nurture that baby inside of you and culture that baby inside of you. And the process started from conception. So, yes, as parents, we don't have a major book. A lot of times of us, by the time we get to the Bible and really get to the understanding of it, we're in our 40s. When we really done been through, like you say, dark side, some of it darker than others, but it is a growing point. And I'm going to put you on mute, Cynthia. I can hear what you're doing.
Okay.
It is a dark side for us, and we all experience that. But some things that are so dark, and you think about it when you hear the stories, as I've heard this week, it just really brought me to a different place of the seriousness of this mother and daughter relationship. So now they're saying to me, well, Dr. Fletcher, you know, we all want to get together, and we want you to tell our story. It is amazing. But, you know, I'm like, okay, you know, if that's what God wants me to do, because they want to be healed. They want to come together and help each other and use the love to do that. So all I'm saying, it's like you're saying, Cynthia, if you don't go through something, then you don't have a testimony. And that's what I tell most mothers and daughters, you know, you go through it for the testimony, but now what are you going to do with the testimony after you realize you have it? See, it's not yours. It's not yours to keep. It's yours to share. It's yours to help someone else. Because God brought you through. He brought you through so that he could use you like he used Jesus. He brought Jesus through so Jesus could share the testimony. And we are the beneficiaries of that. So mothers and daughters out there, you have the testimony with your daughter. You have the testimony with your mother. You have the testimonies with your sisters, your brothers, your cousins. You know, it's not yours. You don't own that. You're not the author of that. You're the co-author. And you must share it. See, I look back, Cynthia, when I'm thinking, sometimes I'm thinking, you know, God, you chose me to do this. I love what I do. But I haven't even scraped the surface of what God wants me to do. And that's what I discovered this week. This thing is taking a whole different turn. It is going into another place. And I remember about 3 or 4 months ago, God kept saying, be still. Maybe 2 months ago, be still and know that I'm God. It was something that he wanted me to hear, something that he wanted me to get in tune with. Be Daniel and know that I'm God. I mean, I go to bed at night, I wake up, I go to the bathroom. He say it all day long. He said it was like a song. And I knew, I said, Lord, okay, it's like he's getting me ready for it. And I know he said that when mothers and daughters come together, the world is going to take a shift. And I'm thinking, a shift? Okay, what does that mean? But he also said to me, when I said, well, Lord, you have me doing the television show, you have me doing the magazine, you have me doing all this stuff. I said, Lord, but where's the money? See, I was always concerned, well, how am I get all this stuff out there? Where's the money to do it? It's the lack of money. See, it wasn't about that. And God said to me, you're in training. You know, you're practicing. I'm like, practicing? Yeah, all of this is just practice for where you're going. And now I can see how it's coming together. So you have to stand, and we have to stand for each other. God wants us to come together as mothers and daughters, and we can no longer just stand back and just me and my daughter and, you know, as you say, just bless us and don't bless anybody else kind of a thing, or being selfish about, you know, your story. You got to tell it. But then yet, when you go to church, people go to church and they testify all the time. People are blessed from those testimonies. And it's the same thing here on the radio. The reason we get on here is because we're what? We're trying to tell the testimony so that people can be blessed. It's the same thing. Church is where you are. So I don't have you on mute, Cynthia. You whatever it was,
okay,
you stopped
okay.
doing it. I just left you alone. So, yeah, I'm talking
okay.
about it.
Okay,
so,
okay. Well, you know, and if you look at this thing with the doctor's thing, Dr. Fletcher, Dr. Gerald May has a book out, and the name of the book is The Dark Night of the Soul. And when you think about those moments where you are estranged from the things of God, you're going through a dark night of the soul. And God allows
mm-hmm.
these things, and I tell the clients all the time, take your mess and turn it into a message. Because that's what God would have us do. He would have us to tell the story in order to tell the truth and shame the devil.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing I can say
it
in closing.
I'm sorry.
About Dr. Bentley, she anointed that daughter and gave that daughter back to God. And like she said last week, train up a child in the way that they should go. They may have strayed, but they will come back. So
amen.
We get
amen.
Close. We got to close, but this is what our last word is. Mothers out there, I don't care if your daughter is 52 right now today. Go somewhere, talk to God, dedicate that child back to God if you have not. God, I give her back to you. You take her and make her into what you want her to be. And while you're doing that, do me too. You know, we can
hey,
start
man, I like it.
Point. You don't have to say, well, you know, I didn't do it when she was a baby. No, you're still the mother, and you're still a daughter and half a mother. Dedicate yourself back to God. I dedicated myself about 3 or 4 weeks ago. I'm just like, God, I'm going to give you back me. I'm giving you all this stuff. You know, I'm just going to rededicate myself. And he's going to take you that thought now, today. Dedicate yourself. Dedicate your children. And watch and see what happens. All right, I'll be right back. Hold on.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
That's our show. Thank you for listening. Thank you guys out there. Have a good week. God bless you. And remember to just stand. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Bye-bye. Love you.